those five reflections that we chant. Actually, the chant is not the full reflection. The Buddha says for you to reflect first on yourself. You're subject to aging, subject to illness, subject to death, subject to separation from all the people and things you love. And you're the heir to your actions. The purpose of this, he says, is to make you heedful. Basically, to straighten out your act. If there's any way that you've been unskillful in what you do or say or think, this is an inducement to get you to drop that unskillful behavior. Because our only possessions are our actions. All those things that we love, the relationships of people we love, we don't really own them. Even time is something you don't really own. It slips through your fingers. You don't know how much you've got. This is why the Buddha encourages you to be skillful in everything you do, not just as you're meditating, but in all the activities of your life. Every opportunity to do good, he said, take the opportunity. Even simple little things, keeping the place clean. And John Mun was an extremely clean and orderly person, and John Lee it was. So was a John Fu. Our tradition here is of people who are very diligent. Part of this is written into the Vinaya, your duties as a monk. You keep your place clean. Thoroughly clean. And you keep your whole life in as much order as you can. Part of it's written into the Vinaya, part of it's just because you see the results. If you're diligent in your outside activities, you're going to be diligent in inside things as well. If something is dirty, something is disorderly, it reflects on your mind. So you want to develop the habit, starting from outside and working in, and then the habit working from inside and working out. To look at whatever opportunities you have to do good and make the most of them. So as that reflection points out, you don't know how much time you've got. You're subject to aging, illness, and death. The germs for your diseases are already there in your body. The potential for disease is already there. You don't know which disease is going to get you or if an accident's going to get you first. But the fact that you've got this body means that these things are lying in wait. So you want to look at all your behavior. To be a practitioner, to be a meditator, doesn't mean just sit closing your eyes and meditating. It means you're developing goodness in everything you do. Take the opportunity to do whatever good you can. John Fuang, as he got old, he had some debilitating diseases. We had construction work around the monastery. And even though he didn't have the strength to do this construction work, he'd still do little things around the construction site. He'd walk around, pick up on any scattered nails, take the wood and put it in a place where it'd be protected from the rain. He'd always find something to do. And the stories he told about a John Mun and about a John Lee were the same sort of thing. Remember one of the Johns at Wadasokaram, who's now one of the senior monks there, when he was a junior monk when a John Lee was still alive. The cell at Wadasokaram was high enough that you could squat down and crawl under it. One day he heard somebody sweeping under the sala. He looked down and there was a John Lee sweeping, doing the work himself. So this is the tradition we're in, that every opportunity to do something skillful, something useful, should be taken. That's the point of the first part of the reflection. The reflection that's not included in our five reflections. The Buddha tells you to think beyond just yourself. It's not just you. All beings of all kinds are subject to aging, illness, and death, subject to separation, and their heirs to their karma. Everybody, everywhere, this is the whole pattern of the universe. No matter where you're reborn, you're going to be subject to this. And the purpose of this reflection, the Buddha says, goes beyond just straightening out your act. It means getting a sense of sangvega, a sense of dismay about the whole process. This is where it all goes. It just keeps going around and around and around. It doesn't really go anywhere. The only way out is to follow the Eightfold Noble Path. That's the purpose of this second part of the reflection, is to get on the path. What the Buddha says, the karma, to put an end to karma, to find a way out. So each time you chant those reflections, remember, it doesn't just stop with you. It applies to everybody. This gives you the incentive to practice a path to get out, because otherwise it gets confining. Try as you may, no matter how good it gets, you can become king, you could become, they have these universal emperors they talk about, who could reign over whole continents. But even for them, it ends. And then where do they go? Back into the cycle. And when you have power, there are drawbacks. We think about all the things that we'd like to have. Fame, wealth. The only one that doesn't seem to have a drawback is health. But there's fame, wealth, beauty, power. And these things have their drawbacks, because they make you complacent. If you're good looking, you get used to having your way with people simply on the basis of your good looks. You get complacent. At the same time, other people want you for that reason. When you're wealthy, you have to be very careful. Who else wants to get their hands on your wealth? And if not, you're not wise, you find that with all that wealth, you can do all kinds of things, some of which are useful, some of which are actually detrimental to yourself. Your wealth then turns out to be your executioner. You become famous. Well, other people want to tag along with your fame, claim a connection to you, make money off of your fame. If you get famous for doing something good, sometimes people are hoping that you'll slip up, so you can become famous for doing something bad. You see it all around you. So all the goods of the world are not really good. So the only true happiness, the only true safety, is in getting out of the system, getting out of the cycle. That's what we're here for, is to realize no matter how good it gets in the world, it's not really good enough. The heart wants something better. This is what the Noble Eightfold Path provides. It provides a way out. It's something that really will satisfy the heart, totally free of limitations. That's what nirvana is all about. That's the symbol of nirvana, the flame that's gone out. It's not going out of existence. It's the symbol there is, or the image there is, of being totally unlimited, no longer caught up in anything. total freedom. That's the one thing that can provide real satisfaction. So keep both sides of this reflection in mind, starting with just your day-to-day activities. Where you find any of your attitudes that are not skillful, when you tend to get lazy, when you tend to get grumpy, when you tend to get taken up with lust or fear. Deluded about yourself, the people around you. You've got to straighten out your act, because otherwise you start acting on those unskillful mental states and they take you to unpleasant places. That reflection on karma, on the one hand, can be grounds for hope, but also it's a warning to be heedful. I mean, the things you do really do change the direction of your life. And if you waste your time just hanging around, not taking advantage of the opportunities to do get skillful things, the opportunities start going away. Let's reflect on that. And then reflect on the universality of this. Everybody is subject to this, no matter where you go, no matter how you're reborn. No matter how wealthy or beautiful or whatever you get, it all ends. And then what are you left with? Well, you're left with the results of what you've done. And if you're wise and used your powers, used your abilities, to find a way out of the cycle, okay, then you're in good shape. You're safe. Otherwise, aside from that, there's no safety at all anywhere.